Hey everybody, I'm Jeff, and this is Casual Chats in a Parallel Universe. My dad and I have been having daily conversations about family, history, life lessons, movies, news, music, and more. Now we are sharing these chats with you. So welcome to our podcast, and we hope you enjoy.
You want to talk about Nancy Mace?
No.
No, I was watching, what's her name, Tulsi Gabbard? She's, I think there was something on the news, maybe it was just a teaser, that maybe she might be Trump's pick for VP.
Who is she?
Oh, she's really interesting. She's from Hawaii. She was a congressperson. She was in the service. She's in the military. She was impressive. She was on Tucker Carlson was I mean it was a good. It's interesting since he left Fox.
Yeah,
he's it's less. It's is not it? So much, you know, gotcha
know,
stuff.
The whole Vladimir Putin interview after that.
Oh
thing,
yeah,
that was such garbage. Yeah.
Well, it's garbage from the standpoint of. It's the first time that he ever did anything like that.
Yeah.
And it's hard to, I mean, you look at people that have interviewed Putin, like Oliver Stone interviewed Putin. Putin is brilliant at manipulating the entire thing. And basically he can, ultimately you're dealing with an autocrat. What are you going to do? You try to do a gotcha with him?
Oh,
he's basically going to say fuck off.
Well, say fuck off. He may not let you leave the country.
Well, that's possible, but more likely, he said, I'm not going to talk about that.
Right.
And that's just shut the whole thing
down.
Well,
that's why the whole thing is just kind of bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
To begin with.
It was bullshit. I thought the one interesting thing that he did. Is he just did that little flip thing of saying, you know, you could do something, you know, to show the West that you're, you know, a feeling person and free this U.S. news
right,
guy.
Right, the reporter, yeah.
Yeah.
Who and, they just actually extended his sentence.
Yeah. And Putin just blew him off.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, and it was kind of sophomore. It was a little silly. To think, you know, that was ever going to get anywhere. But
no, it felt very Geraldo Rivera. It felt very like, hey, we're going to take you down into Capone's vaults, you know, kind of thing. And you're never going to know what we're going to find down here. And at the end of the day, there just ain't shit there. And it's the same type of thing. There wasn't, you know, we're going to take you into the mind of Vladimir Putin, and you're never going to know what. And at the end of the day, there wasn't anything
well,
there.
Well, I tell you, but to your point, not Putin, but to Geraldo Rivera, I watched that whole Geraldo Rivera
Everybody
thing.
Did, yeah.
Oh, my God. We were, Mom and I were watching it.
Yeah.
I mean, we're just enthralled. And when they opened up that thing and there wasn't anything there, it was just the biggest letdown.
Yep.
I mean, he looked like a complete idiot. But yeah, he got, you know, it did kick off his whole persona, so to speak.
Right.
And his whole thing on
TV. Hey, we're still talking about
TV.
It to this day.
Oh, he's...
There it is.
I read his autobiography. Oh, my God. What a strange guy. But anyway, but Carlson is... Not to get on Carlson, but just, you know, a lot of these guys that are, you know, so-called spokespeople for a particular position... You know, I think he's evolved from since he's been off of Fox.
Okay.
And no, you don't think he has, but I know he has because I've watched changes in he's been on with a lot of guys that are he interviewed what's his name? God, who was the governor of New York? Cuomo, Chris Cuomo.
Oh.
And they had a great I mean it was when I say great they had a really good back and forth talking about things that they could agree on, things that they didn't agree on. It wasn't one of these typical Fox News
adversarial
crappy,
type. You're the devil. And,
yeah. And quite a few people on the left that have talked to Carlson have said, there are guys that I talked to him, and he's coming at it from a different perspective, trying to be, look, let's get to the real heart of the matter. Let's talk about why we think X or why this thing is this way and ways to approach it. And maybe there are some areas of agreement, maybe there aren't.
Right.
So, not that I'm a Tucker Carlson fan.
Well, that's kind of what it's sounding like.
I like guys. I told you, my favorite guy is a guy named Lex Friedman. I think it's Friedman. Hmm. He's a
Jewish guy.
Jewish guy. He's originally from Ukraine. He's been here in the States for a long period of time. And he will talk to anybody, literally.
Right.
But the people—
And he can talk to anybody.
He can. He's an engineer. I think he's a computer engineer. But he's one of these guys with a wide-ranging experience and viewpoints. The interesting thing about him, if you look at who he interviews, these are really significant people, you know, from an intellect standpoint.
Right.
And he'll interview people from the far right all the way over to far left.
Sure.
And always from the standpoint of giving this guy a platform. Whoever he's talking to, he wants to learn about this guy from A to Z.
Right.
And his interviews last at minimum 2 hours. And most of the time, over 3 hours. So if you're interested in that person, you really can get a sense of who this guy is.
Right.
And I've seen, some guys that are, from a historian standpoint, he interviewed one of my favorite worldview guys, John Hersheimer. He's a guy that is what they call real politique. And so he's a worldview guy that talks about why did the Russians invade? Who were the moving parties in that? Why did it happen? Historically, what happened to lead all the parties there? And, in his view, it happened because of these reasons.
Right.
And he has a very specific idea, and it's very persuasive. So, and I find his point of view very persuasive. So, and he was, I saw him on Friedman, but I also have watched his other stuff he's done where he's given a talk at a university or a gathering of economists, world economists, all kinds of stuff. So, I find him to have a very persuasive point of view. So anyhow, but Friedman interviewed him, and then I've listened because I like, anything Russian, trying to get to the bottom of why Russia is where it is.
Right.
He's interviewed some really top-notch historians that have written, three-volume sets of the history of Russia, and not the history of Russia, but modern Russia, modern meaning, from the period after the revolution in 1917 to today. So I listen, he's interviewed a lot of those guys. And so I enjoy Friedman. He's quite an interesting guy. I highly recommend him to any of our listeners if they want to look him up, and they can scan through all the people. And
right. He's on YouTube, right?
Yeah, he's on YouTube. And I mean, he's got UFO guys that are on, that have been on, and he's got people that think the UFO guys are wackadoodles.
Right.
So he's willing to talk to anybody anytime. He actually has an open invitation to Putin. So, and, you know, he's one of these guys that believes if you can talk about things, you know, you can yeah. make progress.
Well, I mean, and that's on it. I mean, I don't disagree with that. I think, well, I was listening to something the other day, and it was to devolve into a fight to get physical in some way of some form
yeah.
is easy. To actually sit and try and talk out a situation
yeah.
is hard. But not only is it hard, but it's also, you have to be educated, right? You have right. to be educated on what you're talking about, and you have to be educated on who you're talking to.
Right.
And so it's much easier just to sit there and, hey, I'm just going to fight you, you know,
yeah.
or I'm going to get physical.
Or your viewpoint is bullshit.
Right, right.
You know, I've already decided, I ever talk to you, I've already right. decided you're bullshit.
Or you do your own research, or however you want to say it. But to sit down and actually have a conversation and see that, you know, I mean, it's going on in our neighborhood right now, which is ridiculous. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, we got people on our Facebook pages that are screaming, you know,
about your neighbors. Stuff.
Yeah. Just, you know, it's not a lot of people. It's just like one or two people
screaming about?
They're just upset. They're upset with something happened. Can't really speak to it. I don't know what it was that happened to them in particular.
Oh, okay.
But they are upset about it, and they are upset, you know, with the quote board, the volunteer board. These
right.
people are volunteers. They're volunteering. They're not getting paid. They aren't like politicians, but they're treating them as such. They're treating them as if they are political figures, and
right.
that they are manipulating the neighborhood and the bylaws of the neighborhood
yeah.
to bend at their will. And I mean, you're talking about a neighborhood and people that are volunteering for these positions, and you're making it into something that's, you know, and yeah. I understand, but there were, I mean, it's just crazy, but nonetheless, they don't want to have a discussion about it.
Right.
They want to fight. And that's ridiculous, because if you were to sit down, you know, and they all and as far as I'm concerned, they're all bark, because then when you offer the opportunity to sit down and have
and
a
talk,
discussion,
they don't.
All of a sudden, they're radio silent. So they're just looking at, hey, I'm just going to point out.
So
from my point of view, everything that you're doing wrong, yeah. but I don't want to sit down and have.
So they're basically just troublemakers, and all they want to do is create tumult.
It would seem that way, in hopes that maybe they can topple the board, and who knows, they can install people that have their point of view, and
yeah.
then, you know, here you go.
Well, I've always, you know, wondering about when people are not. And you take as an example of, you know, a world situation where people have quit listening, and say Israel and Gaza,
right?
And the fight between the Palestinians and the Israelis. And I've been I've spent quite a bit of time, you know, trying to get the viewpoints of both. And even though I'm Jewish, you know, I am not an Israeli.
Right.
You know, and of course, since I'm Jewish, I'm kind of, you know, I would tend to lean towards
the Israel's
viewpoint.
Sure.
But, you know, I said to them, after I listened, you know, after October 7th, I said to Mom, I said, you know, I've never really looked into the real history of the creation of the state of Israel. And even way back, you know, how long ago, how did Palestine, you know, where did quote it start? You know, the Jews and the Egyptians. I mean, this is an area where, you know, this is theoretically where the Jews were in slavery, you know, in Egypt.
Right.
So this goes back millennia. And so why all this, you know, why all this hatred, you know, and why, oh, well, you know, when you listen to the Palestinian side, you know, and, you know, to somebody that's not screaming, not yelling, but giving you a historical perspective.
Right.
And then you listen to the Jewish side or the Israeli side, and you listen to them. They do each have a very specific point of view.
Sure.
And there's some real honest to God things that could be discussed.
Right.
But at the same time, I was just listening yesterday to this guy who is, I guess, used to be way up in the Israeli Defense Forces and was a strategist, strategic guy that was giving advice to the prime minister and all this stuff. You realize that the Israelis are looking at this as an existential crisis. You know, this is no different to them than 9/11 is to the U.S.
Yeah.
So they're looking at this that since Hamas has said, look, we're going to kill every Jew
right.
that exists. We're going to wipe Israel, as the Jews in Israel, off the face of the earth. That is their stated goal. So when you're dealing with somebody like that, what the hell are you supposed to do?
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I don't have an answer. I certainly don't have an answer.
Well, it's also tough when that particular group is saying that, but they're also hidden within another group of people, right? Like an innocent group of people,
yeah.
i.e. the Palestinians. I mean, they're basically, you know, you have these factions of this group, the Hamas group, but they are hidden and sometimes helped, you know, because yeah. the Palestinians, well, some Palestinians
the, it's,
feel
it's,
like
it's the it's. I think the point that you're making is when a government and Hamas is the elected representative government of the Palestinians. So just like Joe Biden and our Congress and the Senate are our elected representatives.
Right.
And whatever crap they've got out there right now, their positions on Syria and all the places in the world, China, right. Russia,
yeah.
that's yours and mine as far as the Russians are concerned or the Chinese are concerned or the Indians are concerned. Whatever position the U.S. takes, that's your position and that's my position.
Right.
Because they don't care about you.
Well, they're
me.
Not going to stop and have a conversation.
No, they're going to kill us yeah. if they don't like. I mean, they're going to.
If there was some kind of war, if there was some kind of conflict, right. yes.
They don't care.
We're the enemy.
And so that's when we're talking about innocent people, you know, we might.
Our views might not
totally.
Align
well, no, we might totally disagree with our elected representatives.
Right.
But as far as other people are concerned, that's the U.S.'s position. So if they hate the U.S., we're from the U.S., so right. they hate us.
Right.
And this is why there are, in order for you as an individual to be informed and understand these other people, you have to be a critical thinker. And in order to be a critical thinker, you have to be willing to look at the other point of view and not just listen to one guy,
right.
but spend enough time and energy to really try to understand him or her. And that takes a commitment, you know, time and energy and that most people aren't willing to do. They'd rather just tune in to Fox News or CBS or NBC and get their news in little 5-minute or 1-minute segments. You know, when somebody pops something out there and then, you know, somebody in the U.S. just decides, oh, okay, well, that's it. That's the way things are.
I also feel like a lot of people just don't have the bandwidth, right? They just aren't.
They don't.
They
no.
don't. I mean.
They don't care.
They're
why would they care? Most people you talk to, they say, why should we care? Well, you hear it a lot. Why should we care about the Ukraine? Why are we spending billions and billions of dollars in Ukraine? There's a whole segment of the U.S. population that is saying, this has got to come to a stop.
Right.
You know, we can't be doing this. And the same thing for Israel. Why should the U.S. be spending billions of dollars furnishing artillery shells and stuff to Israel?
Right.
It's not our business. It's theirs. So I get it. That's a point of view. You know, it's you can't say it's not valid. It is. It's a valid point of view.
Sure.
You're saying it's America first.
Right. They're saying when we got our own problems here, why are we helping other countries?
Why shouldn't we take all that money that we're wasting on wars in Ukraine and wars and build a wall in Texas to keep all these
There's already a wall there, but
immigrants.
Finish the wall, as they say.
Finish the wall.
Right.
We need to keep all these immigrants out because we're letting in, you know, every immigrant is a fentanyl dealer
or
a murderer or a rapist.
All of them. They all are. Every one of them. Not one good person in the bunch.
Nope, they're not. You know, that's why if you're not a critical thinker and you just listen to the crap that you hear, it's so easy to just get disgusted and say, you know, you got to spend the time. You got to do it. And that's luckily I've got the time because I'm basically retired.
Yeah.
So I can spend the time of sitting there, you know, getting up to speed. But, you know,
I feel like any rational person can say there's got to be, I always, you know, Stacey will come home and be talking to me about something happened, right? Somewhere, who knows where it was, some kind of conflict in some way, could be small, you know, but there's always another side to the story.
Oh, sure.
Right. And there's always, and one side's always trying to outspin the other side because there's always, you know, as you said to me, when I was taught, I sent you a clip of something and you're like, someone's always trying to point the finger, always got to find somebody to blame it on. You know, can't just...
That's why the Jews are such a wonderful place to start. It's all their fault.
So, you know, but there's always another side. There's always a shoe on the other foot. There's always a have you ever walked in those shoes scenario. And if you cannot and are not willing to accept that or to even look at it, then, there is no conversation to be had. Because you've already decided.
Well, it's interesting. I think you and I have talked about this before, not on the here, but is in order to truly hate somebody, if you dislike somebody, in order to really hate them, you may say I hate that guy,
right?
Or I really hate that person.
That person. Right.
But in order to hate somebody, truly hate them. You have to spend the time to really know that person because you can't hate somebody without truly knowing them.
Right.
You can dislike the hell out of them because that doesn't take anything. You know, somebody cuts a fart in a room and mom would go, I hate that person. You know, I hate people that do that. That's terrible. You know, no, but. You know, just because a guy farted on you doesn't mean he's going to kill you.
Put the shoe on. Hey, you're sitting in a room. You're holding it in, man. You're trying your best.
You're doing your best. Yeah,
everything you can do. I'm listening. I can't. You know, we're trying to finish our podcast here. We only got a few minutes to go. But then I squeak it out.
You squeal it.
And just the next thing you know.
That's it.
Clear the room.
The hatred enters the room.
That's it.
Now
somebody's got to
die. But in order to fully understand you so I can truly hate you.
Right.
You know, we got to get behind the fart. Yeah. We got to go beyond the fart and get to the real digestive system that's inside that person.
That I'm going to hate.
So we may find out, hey, this guy's got all kinds of problems going on there. He can't control himself.
No.
So it's...
Got a little IBS.
IBS, could be IBS, could be, you know. He's got, you know, he's got built-in flatulence.
I'm glad that we could really
bring it to
devolve the world's problems into a fart conversation. Yeah. That's really
maybe that's the answer to to most stuff. You got to bring it around to toilet humor, or at least a description that involves the toilet.
That's it.
And if we could do that,
the analogy of, I mean, if people would be willing to open up to that, I think it's a whole different world. You know, it's such a private thing for most people.
I think you've really hit on something, because if the first thing you could discuss when you meet somebody is
it's your bathroom,
what are your toilet etiquette? What are your habits in the toilet?
Yeah,
you know, like, you know, what do you do? Do you turn the fan on when you go in? When you first go in. A lot of people don't.
I mean, do you turn it on regardless of what you have to do in there?
Yeah.
You know,
because I mean, the first question is, do you turn the light on? Or do you just like to do your business in the dark?
I think it's part of getting back to really hating somebody.
That's it.
And understanding them in bathroom etiquette could really,
Bathroom habits are a leading indicator of whether or not you deserve to be hated.
Who you are as a person.
That's it. That is
how kind you are.
Yeah.
Do you courtesy flush? You know,
I had never heard of courtesy flushing until, you know, relatively recently. I think it was in a movie.
Yeah.
Say that no good son of a bitch. He didn't even give me a courtesy flush. Right. You know, he just
in Weird Science. You don't remember that?
Was it Weird Science?
Yeah, when they're in the bathroom and the girls are outside and he's like, you're in here dropping wolf bait and you didn't even give it a flush.
Yeah, courtesy flush.
Turn the fan on, nothing.
Oh my God. Public bathrooms are the worst. Ooh. Oh, we don't want to get on the courtesy.
Now we're devolving into the, you know.
To go back to the truly understanding somebody is not to have a knee jerk reaction just because somebody. I think, of course, one of the biggest problems is when somebody makes a knee jerk statement and without thinking, you know, about it. You need to really kind of say, well, wait a minute. Can we maybe dissect that just a little bit?
Right.
You know, maybe I'm not quite sure I get exactly where you're coming from here. Are you sure you really mean X, or are we something substantially less than X? We're at a different level of not liking somebody as opposed to hatred. You know, it's political parties, you know, Democrats and Republicans. I mean, the hatred in this country is just scary. It really is. I mean, just hating somebody or appearing to hate somebody just because of their political persuasion, it's not enough for me to hate somebody.
Well, I mean, again, it's all about, can you have a discussion?
Conversation.
Can you have a conversation without being heated? And I think, you know, empathy is something that is lost in this world. There's no one willing to be empathetic to the other side.
Right.
To, you know, whether it's just another person. But again, it's about looking at everything, you know, looking at things from different points of view and being it's like a chess game. You know, you can't just sit there and see things one way. You have to look at all the options that are on the board to kind of figure out what makes sense.
And that requires thought and time.
Yeah.
And most people, or a lot of people, aren't willing to take the time, you know, and not just give a knee-jerk response, but, you know, give it some thought. And make a reasoned approach as opposed to just doing knee-jerk stuff. But, I think it's just part of the times that I just don't know why things have devolved. I think a lot of it is things where when I was a kid, in just the news, you know, from the 50s into the 60s, you know, you got all of your news off of, you know, CBS,
right.
Walter Cronkite. So, you know, whatever he said was the news. Now, I think somebody gave some description saying that only people over 60 get the news from
TV
on air TV.
Right.
You know, they don't. Most people get their news from not cable news, but from off the internet, basically. You know, from a website or from So, and there you've got, you know, you've got real points of view. I saw some, there's some website, I think it's called Ground News, G-R-O-U-N-D, Ground News. Their whole concept is they tell you whether a particular news service leans left, right, or center.
Right.
And that's your sole purpose. So that when you read an article, it's you can tell is it, you know, is this a left leaning or a right or center? And I found that amazing that, you know, this is a business that's making money. So obviously people feel like we got to figure out where people are coming from in order to get a true understanding.
Well, I mean, I think, and we may have gone over this already on another podcast, but you and I have talked about it, but people are being fed what they want to be fed. And so unless you are willing as a person to divert that path, unless you're willing to go off the path that has been put in front of you because you are being run by algorithms and now AI, which makes things even worse. I mean, it makes something. I mean, I think, you know, AI, just as scary as it is also super cool. And there's a lot of honestly amazing things that are going to come out of it. I just watched a video. This guy, five filmmakers were given access to, I think it's Chat GPT's new platform, which is called Soma. And it's basically AI-driven video. Right. And five filmmakers created films just using Soma. And they were super cool. It was really amazing. I mean, the first one was called Airhead. And it starts with this voiceover about this guy, you know, talking about how things are different for him, you know, how his challenges in life. And then it kind of pulls out and the guy is a balloon. It's like a balloon dressed in a suit,
right?
You know, and the head's like a balloon, and it just, and it was a really cool story. I thought it was amazing.
Hence Airheads.
Right. And I went on to watch a couple of the other ones and I was like, you know, this is cool. And is there an application for it? Sure. Is it going to replace actual storytelling? I don't believe so. Is there a place for it? Why not? You know, I mean, AI would have to get really advanced to be able to tell the story from the heart, the human story.
Yeah, but I don't think that's too far. That's necessarily too far away. I was watching the launch in the NVIDIA, the guy, the CEO of NVIDIA.
Right.
Was showing their brand new products, which is like the next level.
Right.
And it's like 10 times more powerful than the existing platform. And you just realize this stuff is exploding so fast.
Yeah.
It's, and you know, to your point, I mean, this idea of being able to create a movie, just, you know, one guy just creating a movie. By, I guess,
just typing in ideas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And having the thing put together a composite picture. I didn't realize, I mean, they were showing, I think I saw a short video where they had created it using AI. And I was just blown away.
Oh, yeah.
And then they critiqued it. They said, well, Yeah, but if you look at this,
look somebody's nose is askew or something, like it couldn't build the scene correctly. Like,
or there were two arms intertwined.
Right.
You know, it wasn't quite, but you have to be very discriminating in your viewpoint.
Sure.
So it would be easy to put together something and saying, this just happened.
Oh, yeah.
And
most people would eat it up. People going,
they would.
They already do.
So it's scary.
But getting back to it, so people are being fed exactly, you know, the people that are not willing to look outside of their bubble which is a lot, are being fed their specific journey. And so it's easy. It's easy for them to build. They feel like they do know the other side. They feel like they do understand them.
Yeah.
But they aren't willing to have that conversation.
Yeah. And then this is going back to I was looking at something else the other day, talking about business models of the various news services, you know, like CNN or any of them, talking about the fact that they, in order for them to be successful, they have to be financially successful. You know, they have an audience.
Right.
You know, like Fox News has an audience. They know exactly, you know, what they need to provide because their audience is expecting X.
Right.
So they need to produce X. So it's pretty easy to do that. You're going to pick stories or put a slant on a story. And I think they talk about, you know, just looking at headlines from the different news services, you can tell, you know, looking at the same news item by the headline, whether they're left-leaning, right-leaning, or center. It's just mind-boggling that's the case. But it's in order for them to succeed, because everything is effectively financially driven, you got to make a profit in order to stay in business. And in order to stay in business, you have to be relevant to the audience.
Right.
So,
a lot of this was born out of the 24-hour news cycle.
Right.
Once cable television took over and you know, you had and these news channels started.
Yeah.
You have to fill the air with 24 hours of news.
So I meant to ask you, are you on what, X, formerly Twitter, or do you do much on
it? I don't do it. No,
I'm not on it at all.
Because a lot of the, and I even tell clients that I work with that I don't deal with it because it's just too much. It's just because it's a constant, not that other social media isn't, but it's a constant conversation. You have to be constantly engaged for it to work for you as a company. And so unless you're going to be on there tweeting, you know, all the time, then, you know, because you're basically having a conversation, then rather than just, you know, showing a picture or a video and then engaging from there and answering questions and whatnot, looking for likes or whatever.
It was interesting to switch to a different, still on the same topic, TikTok.
Yeah.
When this whole thing came up about
the banning of TikTok.
Yeah, TikTok being owned by a Chinese, by the Chinese government. And I hadn't even thought about the fact this guy, who's actually a military guy, was talking about the fact that how easily these things can be weaponized, meaning that if there were, because of the fact that the Chinese government owns it, they could literally control the narrative.
Right.
I mean, and using AI, creating scenarios that don't even exist. And, you know, even though they're, quote, doing business in the U.S., how would the U.S. be able to do anything about anything on TikTok? Because, you know, the U.S. operates on the fact that, well, okay, we would subpoena their records and, you know, they could just basically tell us to pound sand. You know, the only thing we could do is just cut them off in the U.S., but, you know, you don't want to do that unless, I mean, that would be like a last resort deal. But his point was that something like TikTok, and I guess that that could be true of talking about weaponizing any of these social media because of bots and the ability to just create complete false narratives out of thin air.
Yeah, if you think it's only happening on TikTok, you're out of your mind.
Yeah.
I mean, it's already happened. I mean, there was all kinds of election interference in the last election, and it wasn't on TikTok.
Right.
You know, it was on Facebook. It was on Instagram. It was on YouTube or X or whatever. I mean, it's all there. It's not like it's TikTok's any different. The only reason why TikTok, the only reason why the focus is on TikTok is because of the Chinese affiliation. Sure. And so is that, can that be concerning? Sure. You know, but again, do you have all the information? I mean, from what I understand, you know, they're saying that, you know, the Chinese can steal all of your information because if you know, when you put it on TikTok, that they can, they can take all of your information,
which they can,
but all the US information is stored on servers in the United States. So is that something?
But the flip thing
and also
Facebook already has all of there your information. You go.
Facebook, all these other social media companies have all your and don't think that they haven't sold it already a million times over.
Oh, they have
to all kinds of different countries.
That's
already.
That's how they make money,
right? So
selling your information.
So why is this any different? I feel like this is. TikTok becomes a diversion from everything else that is going on that is more important.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to put this out there because if we do, it's going to, the influencers on TikTok are going to talk about it.
Right.
And it's going to become a big story, and it's going to divert attention from, you know, some other bill that we're going to sign that we didn't really want you to know about in the first place.
Why is TikTok such a big deal?
What
is it, easy to post on it? Or? No,
well, I mean, it's easy to post. It's digestible video, basically. Yeah. And so you're looking at, you know, what, 30 to 3 minute videos.
So what's the competition for TikTok?
Would be you. Well, now, I mean, it's everywhere. It's like Facebook stories,
YouTube?
Instagram reels, YouTube shorts, all of these anything that you're going on where you can hit the videos and kind of just start looking at swiping up the videos and stuff.
Those
are all competitors to TikTok at this point. Okay. Right. And so you're not going to, and that's the thing, like you'll see, and most of these people that actually, you know, make a lot of videos, they're on all these other platforms too. So it's not like if TikTok went away, you wouldn't be able to find that same type of stuff with your Facebook stories Instagram reels or whatever.
Is TikTok like YouTube in that you can monetize?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, so you can make money off of it. So if you get like a million likes or you're like a million people
they have like an influencer program. Yeah. Where, you know, if you hit a certain status, you can start making money, but then as with everything, the big thing is to try and bring in some sort of sponsorship into it. And there's a thing called TikTok Shop where you can add like a little button to your videos and you can talk about a product. And if they go through and buy the product, then you get a little portion of the product kind of thing. I enjoy TikTok. I mean, I watch videos on there all the time. You know, I like the funny stuff and honestly and I'll give it away. I'm pretty sure it's already been thought of, but I don't understand why there isn't something, and maybe it should be an entirely different platform that you can create, like, and because it's streaming now, right?
Mm-hmm.
But why not create a third? And some woman did it, like with a story that she told, and everyone's like, "You got to buy this," and it was something about, I can't remember if it was like a divorce or a murder or something like that, but it ended up being like a 20-part story and what happened to her. But why not do that?
Like a serial type thing?
But from a narrative point of view, like you could create like a 30-part story and put it
like each one is like 3 minutes or something.
And you're just telling these stories and you're just dropping it on there. And why not create that? Why not do that? But not only just do it, have a platform basically where you know you're going on here and it's like narrative driven, right? Or you can, I mean, you could spin off a doc, you know, side of it too.
And like do more almost like a graphical novel.
Sort of, yeah.
You could cut it up into a serial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. And just drive it that way. And I mean, people do it now where they're like, there's like story, there's like some profiles on TikTok. It's like story talk. But they tell a whole story in the 3 minutes, right?
There's okay.
Like, but maybe there's like a part one, part
you're
two,
talking
part
three. About doing it in a serial mode.
But make it more like make it more like a TV show.
That would key into the AI. You could just use AI to help you serialize.
Sure, you can if you want to.
Theoretically,
yeah. Or you just write the story.
Or
yourself.
Just do it yourself.
Yeah, but I it was funny because I was at a film. Like a film mixer recently. And, I was talking to some of the younger kids there and, you know, I'm just like, it's kind of an exciting time. I mean, they're like, you know, they're kind of lost. They don't know what to do. And I'm like, dude, it's all here. Like you can make your own content and put it there. And if you can start gaining a following, you're gold, you know, start telling stories.
Yeah.
Right there.
It's a lot of entrepreneurial opportunities here.
But I mean, forget like Netflix and Hulu and all that. I think people are kind of getting tired of that type of streaming because all you do now is you watch YouTube all the time.
Yeah.
All you do now is Stacey and I do it all the time. You get on, turn on the TV and what are we going to watch? And you'll spend the next hour flipping through 10 million different shows to the point where you're finally like, you know what? I'm just tired and I'm going to go to bed. Cause you know, it's getting to the point where it's just, it's too much. Like
you know what we're doing? Of course, we're of the older generation. We're watching old TV shows.
Right.
We're watching Raymond. You know, everybody loves Raymond and laughing our asses off and having a great time because it's, you know, old stuff that's so true for our generation.
Right.
And then we watched, we just finished, not binging, but watching Law and Order, the old Law and Order program, because it's, you know, whodunits, it's, you know, typical stuff that we like to watch anyway.
Right.
Because we were trying to watch, you know, British whodunits and stuff, but it's difficult to find. I mean, as you said, you got to scan through 85 million offerings in order. It's impossible. So that's where we're at. It's I don't know. I guess the demographic is everything. I don't know what 20-year-old. You know, I don't know what like Sarah. What does Sarah watch? What does an 18-year-old watch on TV or not TV? But what does she stream?
Right.
You know what? I don't know if you've ever asked her.
No. I don't know off the top of my head. Like what? Like just as.
How about Max?
Max watches a lot. I think he watches a lot of anime. He likes Rick and Morty right now, which is an animated show. It's more of an adult.
Is that like Beavis and Butthead?
I mean, to some extent, basically Rick is like this old scientist and he has a grandson, Morty, and they go off. But Rick's like the genius of all geniuses, right?
Oh, okay.
You cannot like
smarter.
Than anybody in the universe.
Oh,
he is
okay.
Like the smartest guy.
Gotcha.
The Rickest Rick, as he would say.
Rickest Rick.
The Rickest Rick, yeah. And so like
and Morty
and
is,
he has like this portal gun and they and a spaceship and Morty is his grandson and so he's always taking his grandson. They always end up on these crazy adventures together and it's hilarious. I mean, it is kind of like Simpsons, Beavis, Butthead. You know, it's kind of humor like that. But I enjoy it. I think it's pretty funny. I think it's pretty hilarious. And
so what is it? What's the deal with, like?
I started watching it with him, although it's probably really inappropriate for him. But if he's not seeing it with me, he's seeing it somewhere.
Are the Simpsons still relevant?
They are. Yeah, it's still going.
It's still popular.
Like the 30th season or something ridiculous. You know,
I mean, that is funny stuff.
Yeah,
I watch. What's his name? Seth.
MacFarlane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he
with like
is,
Family Guy. They used to be one of my favorites.
He is,
and
the
that's
funniest.
That's like Rick and Morty are kind of in that vein.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's my kind of humor. I just love that.
You
stuff.
Might like the show. Check it out. You know, and you can watch it. What is it? It's on HBO or Max now.
Oh, okay.
If you have Max.
Oh, yeah, I have Max.
Yeah, there's like 7 seasons on it.
And what's it? What's it called again?
Rick.
And Rick and Morty. Rick and Morty. Because you said anime, you know.
But Max, he's like, what's it called? One Punch Man is one show that we've watched together. Or there's another one called Chainsaw Man that we've watched together, which Chainsaw Man was written by like a 13-year-old boy.
Right.
So I guess Max, you know, you can.
Oh, there's some.
I mean, okay. I mean, the whole thing of it is the
and what does Chainsaw
kid wants
Boy
to
do?
Touch boobs.
What's his? Touch boobs?
That's what he really wants to do.
Where did the chainsaw thing come from?
It's like a weird thing, like it's like with devils or something like that. It's hard to explain, but somehow he gets mashed up with this devil, and the devil is like has a chainsaw is its deal, and so this guy like morphs into Chainsaw Man, and that's like his superpower.
So he has a chainsaw, like
basically his head is a chainsaw.
Oh, his head
turns into like a chainsaw.
Oh my god!
And like he's supposed to be out fighting evil.
Oh, evil.
Yeah,
okay.
Or
kind of like Superman,
sort of. But he's also kind of like an anti-hero. But his main goal is that he likes this girl.
Touch boobies.
That's his boss,
and she's got a boot. But he doesn't touch her. He doesn't touch her with the chainsaw.
No. I mean, at least as far as I've seen.
Yeah. He hasn't gotten into cutting it.
But there was an animated series on Netflix we watched together called Arcane that got nominated for some awards. That was really cool to watch, too.
And that's
on Netflix.
Oh, Netflix.
And there's supposed to be a second season coming out.
Oh.
You know, so stuff like that.
He likes
that kind of stuff.
I'll have to take a... Well, I like the old American Dad stuff. I mean, of course, that gets back to toilet humor and, you know, it's, you know, just silliness.
And just stupidness.
I like stupid.
Yeah.
It's fun.
That's when you don't.
You don't
whenever
have to think.
When you're taking, like, when this conversation, when you're taking everything so seriously, it's nice to be able to put something on that kind of, you know.
Counterbalance it a little
bit. You can just,
so you can remain sane.
Shut it down. Shut down that part of the brain, and there's enough going on in the world. I mean, it is. I mean, I'll, you know, sit there and I'll look. You know, I'm on Google and I hit the Google News, right? And I don't hit the For You. I just want to see the headlines.
Right.
And because it's going to show you all the headlines from all the different news affiliates. It's not just like, here's one side or here's the other side. So I'm looking at, you know, and everything's just like, oh my God, it's always like,
yeah.
Everybody's dying and war and famine and destruction and it's all awful. There's very rarely, you know, somebody's been kidnapped or whatever. It's all very rarely is there some sort of human interest fun story. So it's nice to be able to grab something like Family Guy and be like, okay, you know.
The headlines are so, I mean, it's so, the adjectives that they use. I think I've talked about this with you about the adjective, the words, the descriptive words that are used to, you know, to do something. I mean, in the headline is, again, just depends on, you know, are you on the right or the left? And they use this word to inflame you, to get you to think X, Y's as opposed to, and, or you can use a different adjective and get a whole different perspective.
So. Well, part of it's also SEO. As is with our podcast.
SEO.
Yeah. You're just search engine optimization.
Oh.
So your headline has keywords in it so that when something's typed in, it's going to pop up over somebody else's headline.
Wow.
Over another affiliate's headline.
So we should really come up with a headline, an SEO for this episode.
We need to.
Yeah, come up with something so totally unrelated to what the thing is, just to inflame
just
everyone.
Just buzzwords. That's get, all we need so on
people,
there. So
but see,
just...
then people go on to listen for two seconds.
Like, wait a minute. This say, doesn't have anything this has
nothing to do with that.
Hey, maybe. Maybe it'll make us popular.
Yeah, maybe so. You know,
I think we're doing all right.
Well, I think it's... To me, it's just wonderful where you and I are enjoying this.
Yeah.
And hopefully,
we ain't gonna solve the world's problems over here. But
some people are enjoying it with us. So hopefully that number will increase.
I think the thing to take away from this episode is if you really hate someone, maybe have a conversation about their bathroom etiquette.
I think that could be it because it's going to give you that.
That's how it all gets
that initial view into their whole personality.
Right.
The way they operate. Everything is ultimately based on.
And then maybe discuss your bathroom etiquette, and maybe somewhere in there, you guys can really come together and realize that hating each other is.
First question is: have you ever passed out on the toilet? That's the first question. Is do you meet the that ultimate criteria?
It would be a resounding yes.
Yes.
And that story we will get into maybe some other time.
I think that would be a great story. Well, it's been a pleasure.
Always.
As always.
Yes. Till the next one.
We'll say goodbye to our loyal listeners. And
that's right. I do have to give one plug before we go, because I told Stacey I would race to the prom, which is happening here in Savannah. And it's put on by the JEA, and it's basically donated prom dresses. And
what a great
girls
idea.
Girls and women can come in, and they're not free. You do have to, I think maybe the first one's free and then you have to purchase the rest. I don't know all the details, but Race to the Prom, they're on Instagram.
Oh,
so
great.
Go check great it idea. Out. Good
your,
cause.
Your creative wife. She does a great job.
She's amazing.
And she has a big birthday coming up.
Oh, boy. Let's not discuss that.
Okay.
Let's not.
All right.
Okay.